Okay, honey, as you think about my job as a dad with our sons.
Oh, good. This is a good topic.
Don't critique me. I just want to, on a scale 1 to 10. There, I guess this is an invitation to critique me. Scale 1 to 10. How did I do loving our sons? Oh, boy. The pause means not good.
I think you were good at that.
Then why did you pause?
8? Is that bad?
No, 8. I'd take an 8 any day.
Oh, good. Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com or on our Family Life app.
This is Family Life Today.
You know, as I was thinking about it, I thought, and I've said this, it was easier, I feel like, for me to love them when they were little boys. Mm. And as they became men, it should have been the same, but it felt harder to love them.
Was it awkward? What do you think that was?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it was, because today we get help with this. That's why I'm bringing it up, because I felt like it was man to man and it felt different. It shouldn't have, but it felt different to me. And again, I'm not making an excuse. I'm introducing a topic because we've got two experts on this. You guys, Matt and Lisa Jacobson, welcome to Family Life Today.
Thank you so much.
It's great to be back.
I mean, we're really glad to have you back here. And, you know, you are the gurus of 100 ways. You have 100 ways to love your husband, 100 ways to love your wife. Those were previous books, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And now you've come out with 100 ways to love your son, 100 ways to love your daughter. We get to talk about sons for this time. Just to introduce you a little bit, you're not just authors, you're speakers. You planted a church and involved in that. You've got 8 kids. You've got faithfulman.com and you do a podcast. Tell us about your podcast, because I started listening to it and I thought it was fantastic.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks so much. Yes, it's called Faithful Life Podcast, and it is essentially about living a faithful life in your personal life with God, in your life with your spouse, and how you're walking together. And it's really just practical Christian living. That's really what it is. I kind of like how you describe it in terms of talking, babe, about, hey, I know this intellectually or I understand, but what does it mean on Monday morning when normal life has
real
taken
life hits you? Does he always call you babe?
Yes, he does.
Yeah?
He has all kinds of little pet names for me,
actually. I like that. I hope you'll use all of them today.
I don't know if I can use all of them.
Oh, okay. Let's not go all the way there, but some of them are really cute. And then, Lisa, you also are the host.
Hey, babe. Tell them about Lisa. I'm going to start calling you babe. Lisa, I like that.
Lisa's the founder and host of Club31Women.com. What is that?
It's a resource. It's a blog, but it also has lots of other ministries and books that goes with it. But it's encouraging women in their biblical walk, just as if they're a mother, if they're a wife, if they're a daughter. It's to all ages. And again, the idea is very practical biblical encouragement, because sometimes we'll know a verse or we'll know we're supposed to be this way, but how does that look like? And what are some ways that I can be more truthful, more kind, all those kinds of things into your home, into your daily life?
Yeah. Now, how did you two end up with the 100 ways? Because actually, I think, and obviously you do too, it's a great way to write a book because they're little nuggets. They're almost like a Devo, mm-hmm. you know, but mm-hmm. again, I would be like, I can write 5. I don't know if I can write 100, but you come up with 100 in many different topics and they're very easy to read and they're so practical. So how'd you end up on 100 ways?
Well, I think there are a lot of great books out there that talk about the big concepts, the kinds of parents you want to be, or maybe the kind of, in the case of our marriage books, the kind of marriage you want to have. So let's just say communication. You're like, okay, I know I need to communicate better. I need to communicate more lovingly. But then you know, you read this great book, you put the book down and you go out there to your kids in this case, and then you go, I don't know what to say. And I don't know what this looks like. I just need a little bite of something that I can start today making a difference in my home.
Right.
And that's basically how we broke it down into these little bite-sized pieces.
The thing is a great relationship is built with just a lot of everyday moments. Mm-hmm. And so when you get into the 100 Ways to Love Your Son book, you find that it isn't this deep tome that you've got to just commit to getting through. It's really just bite-sized instruction on very practical things. And you can read a page or two at a time. And then you can think about that. You can apply it. The book will give you maybe a way to change your thinking. It'll give you something specific, something concrete to do. And you can just employ that in your relationship with your son. And so it's very practical, very doable. We get a lot of feedback. Hey, this is a book that my husband will read.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It's not because one of the, yeah, it's little.
It's
and there's
bite-sized.
Simple things yeah. that you can do. And today we're really going to look at how do we communicate to our sons that we love them and that they are loved.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I started this book on how to love, you know, again, I've said I've struggled with that. I found it easy, but I found it easier for me when they were little boys to hug them, to lay in bed with mm-hmm. them, to say, I love you. I didn't have a dad, so I never had a dad say that. So I was trying to create a new legacy.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. Mm-hmm. From what I remember, you know, you'd have to ask our sons how awesome it was. And when we wrote our parenting book, we literally said, write in the book. So they did. And they mm-hmm. said, here's what worked and what didn't work. But I struggled, I feel like, as they became teenagers. I don't think I did a bad job of it, but it was awkward. It mm-hmm. felt a little awkward to even say those kind of things. So let's dive into that a little bit. Because, I mean, when I picked up your book, I'm like, yeah, this is very, very practical. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could pick almost any one of these 100 and you've got an assignment for the day. And I'm a guy. I'm like, just tell me what to do. You know, and there it was, you know, walk into it. But did you find that at all in terms of loving your sons? Was it different when they got older? Same?
Oh, I think it was definitely different for me. Yeah. Absolutely. One of the things that is just a natural part of a son getting older is that he gets into that 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 range there, and it can start early or a little later. But he goes through this process of becoming independent from you. And it can feel to the parent in the moment as, hey, you're pushing back against me, you're rebelling against me, and that can certainly be a part of it.
Yeah.
But the truth is there's a natural process that's taking place there. And we obviously want our sons to grow independently and to become independent of us in so far as they're getting ready to lead their life and step out wherever God may be leading them. What I had to do is I had to recognize that. And I won't say that I recognized it perfectly over on. I mean, Lisa and I are a good team, and she's just spoken so much into my heart and life on these things. And I just really appreciate the perspective that a wife, my wife, and anybody that you're married, God gave you your wife for the purpose of blessing you with that added perspective. But I had to get to the place where I changed how I was thinking about that process. And I told myself, I need to embrace this process of them becoming independent. But before doing that, yes, it was tougher for me because it did feel like there's this pushback against dad's instruction and suggestions. And not all the time, but it became, I think, naturally that underlying process of them becoming independent. So it's much easier, you know, to love your little kids. They have a lot less sort of life direction where you see your teenagers making choices. But you get to a place where you recognize that, no, this is a natural part of what's happening as they're growing into manhood and embracing that. And the thing about loving your sons that are older is they need just as much love
yep.
as your kids when they're younger. It's just different.
Yeah, I know that one of the things I experienced is just what you're saying, Matt, is I recognized them becoming men and pulling away. And in some sense, I celebrated that. That was awesome.
Yeah.
At the same time, you're like, where are you going? You know, it's like you want them. But what I found was, like you said, when they're little boys, you're laying in bed and hugging them. And then when they're older and it's like beard to beard.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it was like, wow, this is a man now.
Yeah.
And again, it's my son. So it shouldn't be awkward. I had a young man that we led to Christ on a basketball court playing pickup basketball. Paul's his name. Great guy. And as I got to know Paul, I realized he grew up on the streets of Detroit. His family sort of abandoned him. He had no background. And, you know, he sort of walked into our life through basketball and then put in our front door and all these weird things. And next thing I know, we're sort of almost adopted Paul. He never had a dad. And so I sort of became a father figure in his life. He lived with him for a period of time. I'll never forget. I mean, he's 25 at the time, maybe 26.
I think he was younger than that. I think he was like 23.
Yeah, he probably was more like early 20s. He's in my kitchen and he just walks over one day and he gives me a bear hug.
Nice.
And he won't let go. It wasn't like a hug. It was a long hug.
Yeah. Remember this. You looked at me with desperation in your eyes.
Because he hugged me really tight, and his face is right here beside mine. And, you know, he said something like, "Dave Wilson, I love you. You are a father that I never had. Thank you."
Wow.
You know, and here's the thing. It was just a sweet moment, right? And all of a sudden, he goes, "Hey." And he's still, like, literally bear hugging me, just, like, tight. And he goes, "Hey, this is making you feel uncomfortable, isn't it?" That's what he says. And I'm like, he goes, you're actually stiffening up right
That's
now. So
hilarious.
Now he hugs even tighter.
Good for him.
And he goes, "This is a good thing, me telling you I love you, you know?" And I go, "I know it is." And he goes, "Dude, I'm gonna change you, man. You got to become more tender toward this." But anyway, it was one of these moments where I realized, oh, there it is. And, you know, one of the 100 ways you put in your book is hug your son.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of the things I love about the book, it isn't just a father writing, it's a father and mom. So, Lisa, you wrote this sort of story about how it's good to hug your kids. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I think that the kids, they long for it, most of them. I've got one kid who's not as much of a touchy guy, but I still think he needs it, so he gets his hugs nevertheless. But they do long for that. And sometimes we're so quick with words, like, you know, we're a fountain of wisdom, and we can't wait to just give them that lecture and correct them. And many times I have found that just that gentle touch, even just a hand on the shoulder, a gentle pat on the back, says so much. It says, "I love you." It says, "I'm there with you. I'm standing with you." So it's very powerful. And we can underuse it unless we use it cloyingly, you know. So I think if you're a mother who has a son who's getting up into his teens, just be really respectful of him as well. Don't keep doing the little boy thing. They tend to not like that.
And especially in front of their friends.
Yeah, especially in front of their friends. Although my boys are pretty, they're pretty lovey-dovey.
Yeah,
they're pretty touchy for sure.
That's sweet.
Well, just one of the things that also we've really tried to do is to recognize that each one of our kids, they're literally a different person. Now, that doesn't exactly need to be a profound statement, but but they have a different personality than you. They see things differently. They approach things differently. And a lot of times, I think as parents, we can think of different as wrong. Because it's not our way. It's not our way of thinking. And especially as the boys have gotten older, I absolutely have had to grow in that understanding that they see things and do things differently because of the differences in their personality. So we've gotten into the habit of just telling them, "You know what? I love your personality.
Mm-hmm.
You're so different than me. I love how you think. I love how your thought leads you to doing something a different way completely than what I would do." But we really try to tell them that on a regular basis.
So
we just like you.
Yeah.
We just like you as a person.
And that's really one of the first things you open the book with, is that say to them how much you love to be with them.
Yeah.
You know, and you tell the story. Tell that story, because I had a similar experience of her dad, who's awesome, never saying to me he thought I was awesome. And then one day I overheard him.
Welcome to my life.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's what she grew up with. And he's a great guy. And
he
sort of became my father, and he's my high school coach. But I always sort of wondered, even after we're married, you know, I don't know if Dick just really celebrates me. And I heard him one day talking to somebody about me, and he was talking like I'm the greatest guy ever.
Yeah, right.
And I remember I called him out like, "You've never even said that to me." And then he almost backpedaled like, well, like he didn't think that was something he should do. He should say it about me to somebody else, but not to my face.
That is the irony of being a parent. And I don't know why, but parents so often are ready to celebrate you to a third party. Right?
Yeah.
But directly to you. I grew up in a home where I just didn't have a lot of accolade or affirmation. I always felt like I was in the way and felt like I was maybe even not wanted, which is not remotely the truth in terms of how my parents felt, and certainly not later in life. But that's kind of what I grew up with, is that sense. So we really wanted our kids to know, we like you. Mm. We like being with you. We love spending time with you. And that's a repeat theme in our home.
There's two things. Is I know quite a few people that never heard their parents say, "I love you."
And I didn't growing up. My parents never said that.
Yeah. It's just assumed. It's not that they didn't love you. They just didn't say it. And how often we actually really need to hear that.
Yeah.
And repeatedly. But another powerful statement in its own way is that even that "I like you."
Mm.
Because sometimes we can actually throw out "I love yous." Like our families, I think we overcompensate.
We probably do.
Do you?
But you're right, Lisa. What about the parent that's thinking, "I really don't like my kid right now." You know, a teenager that's just feels like they're rebelling, they're pulling away. And I've heard parents say, I love you, but I don't like you right now. And you're saying...
Maybe she has said that. That's what she's really saying.
I don't think I have said it.
I don't think she said it that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, because we all want to be liked, which is to say, not just the, like, you have to love me, but do you really like me? And it's also a very powerful statement to communicate to your child that I like you. Mm. You're different. Sometimes you make me tear my hair out a little bit, but I like you.
It was interesting. I think our oldest son was 9, and we put the boys to bed, pray for them, talk to them every night. And this one night, I was about to turn off the light, and I said to our oldest, CJ, I love you so much. Mm. And he stops me. I'm walking out. He says, Mom. I'm like, what? He said, you don't have to tell me that all the time. I know it. You say it over and over. And here's what he says. You can just tell me one time, and I know it the rest of my life. Oh. Okay. And my first thought was, his poor wife, yeah. You know? Oh, yes. Oh, no. And I remember coming back in the room and saying, oh, thanks for sharing that. But here's the truth. Like, I'm going to say it over and over because I just do. It flows out of me. And I remember saying, and I like you too. And I then said, and the truth is, your wife is going to need to hear that over and over. And your kids will need to hear that over and over. Because even as a mom, I get insecure. And as people, we get insecure and we need to be reminded of the truth of that.
One of the things that I like to say you know, Lisa and I, in talking with parents, like to remind them, is don't take the bait, okay?
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. Explain.
Just don't take the bait. Well, we're talking about this business of liking or not liking, and sometimes we can get into a circumstance where you go, you know what, we kind of have a problem here with this son. And the thing is that as a parent, isn't it hard not to take that pushback personally?
Yes.
Right. Isn't that hard? That is so hard. So we take it personally. We get hurt as parents. It's always a shocker to the kids. Wait, mom and dad can be hurt, you know, and then we're tempted to kind of respond back from that place of hurt. And so growing up, it's tough. There's so many transitions. There's so many things going on all at the same time, but don't take the bait and don't take your moment and say, hey, my kid is hurting me personally, and just choose not to take it personally. That'll help you stay on a plane of having a right perspective and a right response to them in that moment. And of course, we've all heard many, many times a soft answer turns away wrath. You know, we get those tension moments. But if you cannot take the bait and respond from your place of personal hurt, because kids are good at hurting their parents, they really are. If you can choose not to respond that way and respond in a loving manner, even though they were acting that way, it can really lower the tension in the moment and also give them a little space just to be in that moment where they get to grow too, because they're on a journey.
Right.
We're all on a journey of growth and maturity. They're on a journey of growth and maturity. And sometimes we don't give as much grace for that in them as we want it for ourselves, for our own journey.
So, Lisa, let me ask you that question. When I'm talking to moms or dads, and I especially say to moms, like, don't take it personally. How? Like, how do we not take it personally when it really hurts what they're saying?
I think you can take your hurt and you can just take it aside and work through it another time with maybe another person. Matt and I talk to each other quite a bit about this. Actually, we've been able to encourage each other. Remember, this is not about you, even though it feels like it's about you. And if you don't have a spouse that's supportive that way, you can also even go to a friend and just say, you know, that my child said this or did this, and it just feels like it's a direct attack. And just encourage each other. Nope, this is not what this is. This is a spiritual battle, some cases. And sometimes the child didn't even mean that or even think that you might be hurt by that. It's always eye-opening to go. And later we might have this conversation, especially if it's a teen, and just say, okay, we worked through the situation, but later we'll say, do you realize that when you said this or did this, that feels personal? That
so
feels
you'll
like,
come back to it.
Yeah, we talk about it.
We will
carefully.
Come back to it. And we like to say, never try to deal with a correction in the moment of emotional intensity, right?
That's so wise.
You've got to get away from that. And 2-3 days later, when playing field's level and all the emotions are calmed down, then you can go back and talk about it. And that's something we can do. The other thing we like to say is, you play how you practice. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you go into that kind of a discussion with the mindset already that, you know what, I'm not going to allow myself get emotionally drawn in I'm going to maintain my calm approach. That's really helpful too, just to have that attitude and that thought before you actually get there, so that when it happens, you say, hey, I saw that coming, and I'm not going to take the bait. So
I know that as a parent, I've been there. I think we all have, you know, where, you know, you're hurt or something's done and you're thinking, I need to be the adult here and I don't want to be. It's like I'm going to respond immaturely just like my son or daughter did. And yet it's like you said, Lisa, it's one of those moments where you go, I gotta ask God for help. And you have 100 ways. So sometimes it's like, I got to take a little more time, you know. Again, I find it so practical in your book. One of them that just hit me, it's number 8 out of 100, always be glad to see your son. You know, what does that look like? Always be glad. Because there's moments when you're working or you're doing, you're in a project and they walk in, you know, and they need you. And you're not really glad in that moment. Yeah. You know, it's like, I am, but I'm not. I have things going on. So how do I be glad when maybe I'm not?
Well, one example of this wasn't even too long ago. I was on a tight deadline and I had to quickly get some dinner going before I went back to finish up my deadline. And I was just stressed, you know, beaming out of my body. And I'm over the stove and my son came behind me and he was just kind of wrapping his arms around me. He's about 15. So just kind of, he's taller than I am. And honestly, I just like bristled because I'm just like, go away. I'm just trying to get this thing done. But the other part of me goes, Lisa, don't. You'll want this someday. You'll miss this. So don't communicate to him. Go away. So I did my best. And he turned to me and he said, you know, Mom, something I like. And so I'm all ears, right? What? I'll take anything positive here. And he said, I like that you're always glad to see me, even when you're not. I said, well, I'm sorry that you read through me, but I'm glad that it does mean something to you. And I was glad he was able to articulate that, to just say, it's important to me that you're happy to see me. We were just talking about all these hard things you end up working through with your kids, but there's so much building you can do in between that makes those hard things easier to work through when you have communicated, I'm happy to see you, or I like you, or those are really positive building things that make those harder moments just not so hard to work through. Yeah.
And a minute ago, we were talking about they are people, they're little persons. Mm-hmm. Well, how do we feel when we walk into a room and everybody kind of turns the other way and they're not really thrilled that we were there? Mm-hmm. Like, we don't like that, right? We like walking into a room and, hey, good to see you. How you doing? It's great. Well, what are we communicating to them when they walk into the room?
Right.
You know, the Bible says, love others as you love yourself. That's a way, practically, a parent can do that with their son. He walks into the room, I'm just glad to see you. We've gotten to the habit in the morning, and of course, you know, people stumble down the stairs, and we're all having our coffee. That's one of the things we do as a family, is we've done it every day of the year for forever.
Yep.
Because we started it when we were
almost
just
30 years
before
now.
We were married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I love this, Matt, because in the book you talk about that you serve coffee to your family.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's right. And now the boys have taken it over, and the girls, I think, had it for a while. Just as they got older, each kid took a turn at serving. But that's what we do. We just have coffee together. And when they show up in the morning, we give a positive greeting. It's so good to see you. Good morning. Mm-hmm. Usually a hug or something. When they walk into the room, any time of day, we just want to communicate that. And personally, my personality, I have to be reminded of that because it is not natural with me. I can just have my head down and doing my thing and, hey, nothing's on fire, so it's good. Let's keep going. I have to treat him like I want to be treated when I walk into a room, when I see people that I'm hoping will be glad that they see me.
My thought as you share that is that's what the Heavenly Father does every time we approach him. Like, I used to have this shame-filled view of God that when I would come before him and maybe it'd been a couple days, he was tapping his foot like, about time.
And
the Father never does that. He's always anticipating our return. He loves seeing us. And so my thought was, oh, we're just doing what the Father would do. He's so excited to see his kids. I think of the prodigal and the Father running, you know, to the prodigal, welcoming him back home.
Yes.
I love that idea of making sure, even in the morning, that we love them, see them, notice them.
Paul, the guy that lived in our house for a while, we were walking in the door one day after playing some pickup basketball, middle of the afternoon. He's telling me a story. As I step in the front door, my three little boys, probably 7, 8 and younger, come running to the front door. Daddy's home, daddy's home. And I swoop them up, give them a big hug. Hey, there's the hug again. Give them a big hug and roll around the family room for a little bit with them. And it must have been an hour, hour and a half later. I'm on the back deck with Paul alone. And he says, hey, I need to say something to you. You sort of hurt me earlier today. And you know what he's going to say. And I was like, what are you talking about? When? He goes, well, you know, we're walking in the house after playing basketball, and I was sharing a story with you. And as soon as the door opened, your kids came running. You didn't even hear the end of my story. You just, like, cut me off, and you swooped up your boys. And, you know, I just got to be honest, it sort of hurt me. And I remember looking at him going, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. Because here's the thing, Paul. I said, you know, I never had a dad walk in the front door, and I never felt important. And so I've made a commitment that my boys feel like they're the most important thing in my life. And so when I see them and they said, Daddy, I wanted to say they're the only thing that matters right now. So I swooped them up. I'm sorry in some ways, but not really. And so what do you want to tell me now, you know, about your story? And I'll never forget. He just goes, oh, dude, that's awesome. I had no idea. And it's what Ann just said. That's the perspective of the Heavenly Father. The second we look his way, he is running through that front door and picking us up and saying, I see you. You're the most important, right?
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
That is his heart. And as a mom and dad, when our kids feel that from us, it's what you're saying in the book. It's like, man, that makes them feel love beyond love, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you're the parent that has the kid that goes, meh, when you do say hi or when you do greet them, again, persevere.
Yeah.
Just keep at it. Persevere, because you never know later in life. In fact, one of our kids, in talking about this certain aspect of the way he was interacting with, he says, I don't even know why I did that, you know? Like, looking back on that, I don't even know why, you know? But love the fact that we persevered and that we were single-minded and focused on, we love you, we like you. So if you've got that son that kind of shrugs it off, that's okay. You just stay in the game. Don't take the bait. Don't take it personally. Just stay in the game. So many times we found also when we're tempted to take something personal, we found out, well, there was just some big thing that happened in their life and that's where their head was. And so they weren't really trying to directly hurt our feelings by not responding that way. It's just that their heart was at a different place and maybe hurting or maybe focused on something else. So just keep that in mind. Persevere if you're the parent with the kid that doesn't really respond directly.
Yeah, and obviously we know the truth is nobody rebels or walks away from love. People walk toward love. When they're feeling loved, it's almost impossible to run away from that. You are drawn to it. So, I mean, as you talk about 100 ways to love your son, that draws a family together. I mean, it's what God does to us. It draws us. And I think it'd be interesting for our listeners to go online and even post on Family Life social media ways their parents love them. Or as parents, ways they do it.
Absolutely.
These books really are the ways that we genuinely try to love our kids. We asked our kids, what are some ways you felt made you feel loved? And so it was a big kind of a group effort that way. But even as you're reading the book, you might go, well, I wouldn't do that. Right. Or my son wouldn't appreciate that. But that's give me an idea that they would like this. So at the very least, it's a conversation starter. It's a way of thinking. When we started writing the books, Matt and I were talking about, well, actually we're talking about ourselves, how we know our parents loved us, but we didn't always feel loved. And how many adults we know that said, that's exactly, you know, that would be our case. It's not that my parents necessarily didn't love us. It's just they didn't spend time with us or they didn't actually say, I love you. How kind of tragic that is, really, that there's this all this love that just didn't get communicated. And we have to be intentional about that. So that's another thing with the books. It's just a way of being intentional about the love you're already feeling.
And, you know, you said at the beginning, I hope your tongue was in your cheek when you said experts, because the fact of the matter is we're not experts. We're just people that are on a journey and have tried to learn some things, and we've made mistakes. We absolutely have. And we've learned to do some of these things that are in these books too. And, you know, I'm one of these guys that all of our kids, everybody knows our kids are really hard workers. We'll get out and we'll do the job, and you stay and you do the job until the job's done. And Jacobson's never give up. And so the kids are really great at that. I wish I was better at fun. And so there are some suggestions in the book about just ways to have fun with the kids, because I was all about getting done what needed doing. Mm. But then that fun part of just, hey, let's go. Let's just do something fun. And even, you know, looking back, I wish I was more like that, you know, when the kids were really young. But that's one of the reasons why that there are many suggestions in the book that are in that category, because it's something that I really had to grow in and to let go of, you know, the next responsibility and the next duty and just enter into the moment. And so really just practical suggestions is what you'll find in here. But it isn't because we have it all dialed in and we're perfect. It's because we've ourselves learned a lot of these things along the way.
All of us know, but it's easy to forget how important it is for our kids to understand that we love them, for them to know that. And as parents, we have to be wise in how we express that in a way that they're going to understand it and receive it. And that's why I think the help we've been getting from Matt and Lisa Jacobson today is so vital, because it reminds us that this is a part of our responsibility as parents to communicate our love for our children. We're making available this week Matt and Lisa's books, 100 Ways to Love Your Son, 100 Ways to Love Your Daughter. We'll send you both books as a thank you gift if you're able to help support the Ministry of Family Life this week with a donation. As most of you know, Family Life Today is here because listeners like you have made today's program possible. We're entirely dependent on our listeners to keep Family Life Today on the air on this station, on our network of stations across the country, online, all around the world. You make that happen anytime you make a donation. Those of you who have donated in the past, thank you for your support. Those of you who are regular listeners, if you've never made a financial gift to support the work of Family Life Today, let me challenge you to do that today. You can donate online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call 1-800-FL-TODAY to donate. It's easy to do. And again, when you donate today, we'd love to send you Matt and Lisa Jacobson's books, 100 Ways to Love Your Son and 100 Ways to Love Your Daughter, practical ways for you to be communicating to your children just how much you love them. And by the way, this is for young children, for teenagers. We even need to continue to communicate to our adult children that we love them and that we're proud of them. Again, you can donate online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-358-6329, 1-800-FL-TODAY, to make a donation and request your copy of the books from Matt and Lisa Jacobson. And we're going to continue to talk about this with Matt and Lisa Jacobson tomorrow. I hope you can be with us for that. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life, a Crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.